Hello, and welcome to another episode of Mike M's Weekly Reads. I think this is like week six, maybe week five in Colorado of COVID. And a lot of stuff hasn't really affected, like my work schedule's the same. I still go to work. The weekend's a little different. Saturday used to always go to the movies and go out to eat. Now we still go out to eat, but we get it for takeout, so we don't, at the restaurant we usually spend an hour to 2 hours just hanging out, talking, and now we just bring it back, pop in a movie or something, and or watch something off the DVR. So it's a little bit different. And then Sunday we used to eat out at restaurant too. It's changed. We don't Barb usually makes something, so we have leftovers on Monday. But yesterday I got a cool surprise in the fact that we got like a hazard pay, like an extra paycheck. So I'm taking that extra money and putting it into savings. 'Cause what happened is I had a layoff scare. We had the meeting where they don't give you any prep time, but they say all hands meeting, in 1 hour. And they don't give you much prep time. Usually that is not a good sign historically. In this case, I didn't know what to think because I thought it could be bad, but I thought maybe it's more COVID news because they like give us different instructions like. Now we're going to masks all the time. I think the only time we could not have a mask off is when we're in our cube eating or drinking, and then everywhere else that has to be a mask. So I thought, well, it would be a new instruction for how to deal with this pandemic. But it turned out to be they were laying people off, and I was like, I knew it was coming, but I just didn't expect it, and it kind of like. Knocked me on my ass a little bit and made me think about strategies. And me and Bill talked a lot about how I'm reducing my orders in previews. It's a very different strategy, and you can go listen to Geek Brunch because I'll get more into that over there because we went through previews and it goes into the goring details of each publisher. But in a nutshell, and I've been thinking about it for weeks, and it gave me anxiety, like, because I don't want to cut anything. I love everything that I read. I love everything that I don't read. I just like having the ability to read all that stuff. So my goal was to cut maybe $500 off, $600 off my order. And that kind of give you a idea of how many comics I buy. But most of you've seen the weekly videos on Twitter, or you've seen that I buy a lot on previews. And when it came down to it, I do when I was walking Harley, I just think about it as I'm listening to podcasts and listening to be like, what is the most important thing to me? And it came to be like DC Comics. It's the most important thing to me. Even the bad stuff, I'd rather have the bad stuff. I'd rather have a 2 out of 5 DC comic and know I read it than a 5 out of 5 Image comic. It is a very bass-ackwards way of thinking, but it's also a collector's type mentality and historical person's mentality that wants to know everything about a universe. And when I thought about it, it was the most important thing to me. And then I said, you know what? That also includes Valiant. And so I knew that Valiant would be safe, DC, the entire library would be safe. I didn't know what else would be safe. But then I got into the previous catalog discussion with Bill, and I thought, I love Dynamite. I don't know what it is. It's the pulpiness, it's the iconic characters like Red Sonja and Vampirella and Deja Torres, and when they do Green Hornet and Spider and Doc Savage, and when they were doing Magnus and Turok and James Bond, and I don't know, there's something about that publisher. I know they get a bad rap and a lot of people don't like them, and I was like, well, that's really important to me. And then Marvel, I love a lot, and I have a lot of history with it. It's my second biggest thing in my collection, and I have been filling a lot of holes, and I'm going back to putting holes in it. But it's the easiest. And there were things that I had to keep. There were many series I want to finish off. There were things that I knew I wanted to keep. Just for legacy and run purposes, like Avengers, Cap, Thor, books like that. I knew Daredevil was a must. If I narrowed it down to two characters or two titles in Marvel, I knew it was like Daredevil and Black Panther. Hulk. It goes down to like wanting to know these things, just wanting to be in the know of these characters and have their histories. Yeah, it became interesting in Marvel. And then I was able to reduce it quite a bit. And it should have like an effect that will get lower and lower as the months go on. And COVID-19 might actually change a lot of the production schedules so people aren't putting as much books out. So that could help too. But I sort of said, well, I don't want to change the chemistry in Geek Brunch on how we cover a lot of indies. But I said, Bill, you let me know and I'll buy digitally like the number one issue of something and then decide if I want the trade or continue it digitally, or if I love it so much, then I go to my comic shop or hunt it down on eBay. But at least it won't be like 35 titles like that. And when I was going through Image, I was mostly concentrating on creators and runs that I wanted to keep there. And like I knew two properties were safe. Like they were not going to be touched. Spawn and Savage Dragon just wouldn't be touched. So those were safe. And so far Aftershock is safe. Some of the other publishers that were tough is Sourcepoint Press. I sort of love everything they do, but then I also saw they had a presence on Comixology, so I was like, if I get around to reading it, I can get it there. I looked at Vault. I noticed Scout didn't have much on Comixology, so I was like, oh, if I really want it, I better order it. So yeah, I went through that whole ordeal. And the reason is because of that layoff scare, and I really don't think it's over. I just think this is the first wave. So I want to start saving for that event. And I want to factor in, well, the economy and the unemployment rate, and factor in like the worst possible case scenario, in that it might take me, even with a severance package or whatever, it might take me, I don't know, 6 months to find something I want. And I could collect unemployment for a while, but I want to have, the money, like, the income that I'm used to. So I want to start saving. And it had a more of a like eye-opening thing, like, I'm not getting to read everything as it comes out anyway. So if I do fall in love with something or somebody points something out to me and I try it and I really like it, I could always go to my comic shop and then go that route. The downside is I'll be paying for it a lot more. I'll be paying like more like cover price if it's not hot, and if it's hot, that's the danger zone. And then So, like, if you're paying cover price for something that I could have got for 50% off or 40% off on DCBS. And then the other thing that's interesting is that DC is going to ship to Midtown and DCBS as a backup plan. My thoughts on that, I think it's a fantastic idea because as an engineer, you always look at solutions, and you weigh pros and cons. And I think with whatever you do, just like when DC came out with New 52, and they announced same day digital, all the retailers panicked. A lot of retailers are panicking now because they're not going to get their books because their store's not open, but they will get them through Diamond. So, like, if I was a company DC, I'm like, I have a three-legged stool instead of a one-legged stool that can tip over if that leg is gone. And when you build a company, you like to have like four legs, maybe five legs of a stool. That way, if two legs get taken out, the stool can still stand. Yeah, it might be wobbly, but it'll still stand. And I think it was a smart move by DC. And published, LCSs don't have to go through Midtown or DCBS. They could decide to go through the old trusty Diamond. It's just good to know that they're not a single point of failure. And I also think that DC likes to explore options. And I think the pandemic is a good time to explore options because if you try to explore an option like a secondary distributor in healthy times, it could cause a lot of problems because somebody could turn open the faucet on a distributor that is not ready to handle that volume. But during a pandemic, that volume is it's going to be trickling out. Like, it's easier for a distributor to come up to speed if somebody did want to move over and say, I could distribute that comics. The other thing that it does good is it's for the creators and stuff, is it says, hey, DC says, we're going to push forward with some of our digital content because they do in the day and release. So the digital people won't be hurting that can still buy comics. They can still go out and get their comics, even though they're not like releasing Batman or Metal or all their big selling, 100,000 copy titles because they're waiting for the pandemic to sort of pass before they do that. But we can get like Daphne Byrne. We can get the 100-page giants, which I'm really looking forward to is our fighting forces. I even went to Walmart the other day with my mask looking for it because I know that when it comes through the LCS, it's always like a week off of Walmart, so Walmart gets it early. But and I haven't been purchasing a lot of back issues. I got some issues from I got some Wizard magazines because I want to get Wizard. And I got some Aquaman comics, some really nice ones. I didn't expect to win them. I bid on them because I saw the condition and I was zoomed in on it and I'm like, holy crap, those are nice. I was the only one to bid on them. And it could be this pandemic. But I picked up Aquaman 28 and 25 and they were like, very fine comic copies. With the volume one has Aqua Baby Grows Up and What a Rumble. It has Aquaman fighting somebody that looks like Genghis Khan with a sword. And he says, hold Aquaman, before you can kill me, your son dies. And he says, you can't beat a four-armed sea freak. And he's got four arms. And then we had Aquaman number 28. Which is another Aqua Baby, except he's a baby in this one. And it says, King Aqua Baby says, thumbs down, deliver the death blow to Aquaman. And it has like this sea creature that's really hairy trying to drive a trident into Aquaman's chest. So I was happy that because I went on this Aquaman tear. Like I found out that I really enjoy my comics. I'm a mood reader, everybody knows that. But I really enjoy my comics when I can go to the basement and just grab like 25 to 40 issues of something and just say, I'm going to read it like this. And I did that with Aquaman, and I was blown away. And I didn't expect to Abnett was fantastic on Aquaman, so I didn't expect to like love DeConnick's run, but man, did she blow my mind! Because DeConnick for me is like one of those creators where I really like her work, or I really don't, or I'm just it's just not for me. And with her Aquaman and the artist that was on it, Robson, I believe, I was like, holy moly! It flowed right in from Abnett's run right into that run, and it flowed so well. It was like a stream in motion with threads from the previous story arc, and it worked so damn well. And I was like, oh my God. And I've been doing that with like Batman and Robin, a lot of DC stuff lately, just marathoning it. And then I went on a Dynamite tear. I read a lot of Vampirella and Red Sonja, reading Mark Russell's Red Sonja, which God, I adored that comic so much. And then I also bought a Detective Comics 80th Anniversary Giant, which was a Walmart special. And this one was a funny monkey because I looked at all the Walmarts for this when it came out, and I could not find it. And immediately when it came out, I don't even know if any got to Colorado Springs. I really don't. When it came out, I was like, oh, it'll probably spike up because it was like $10, $15. And I was like, oh, they'll show up at Walmart eventually. Well, time passed. The book kept going up. Now it's 40. Now it's 50. Now it's 125. And they had a buy it now option, and I'm like, I don't want to like I've been monitoring it. I've been monitoring this book. I've been seeing how many were available on various sites. There's not that many. And there was a buy it now but offer accepted kind of thing. And I took a $125 one and talked it down to 100, and I pulled the trigger, and I'm glad I did because the next week they were more expensive. So I, who knows over along the longevity of supply and demand, but if there's collectors like me, they're not going to get rid of this book, and if there's not a lot of these books out there, the book will still hold its value. And I read it. And I thought it was great. I thought it was going to have more original stories, even though it says one an all new Batman story. It had an all new Batman story. It was a Two-Face story, and you'll be hearing about it in an upcoming episode. But it was Venditti and Steven Strugovia, and it was a Two-Face story, and it was really well drawn. Kind of an interesting premise about villains that escaped him as a district attorney and him getting revenge. And then it got into Batman's first appearance, which I've read probably three times in my lifetime. Read it again. I enjoyed it. And then I read the first appearance of Robin, which just came up. First appearance of Robin. So that was a Detective Comics 38. The first one was Detective Comics 27. And that was a fun issue. And then it had the $1 million debut of Batgirl, which was Detective Comics 359. I do own that one in physical copies. I own Detective Comics 38 as a reprint because it came out as a facsimile edition just recently, like within the last, like March. And the next one was There's No Hope. In Crime Alley from Detective Comics 457. Amazing Leslie Tompkins. Oh, I wanted to bring up this factoid of the Batgirl one because I don't remember when I read it the first time paying attention to it. But it had a reference to something that me and Barb got really interested in and had to go on the Google machine. Barbara Gordon was a librarian at the time, and she would buy books because she was in the know of books for Bruce, and Bruce wanted a copy of what was this called? The Bay Psalm book, which came from like the 1600s, and I think there's 11 copies in existence. It's actually fascinating. And she bought a copy for Bruce, and this is a real book. And it had an editor's note. In 1947, this book sold, one copy of this book sold for $151,000. So now we looked it up, and I can't remember if it was like 150 million or 15 million, but it was worth a lot. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. It's a psalm book, so it's like, songs to God and that kind of stuff. But I found that fascinating. But my favorite story was the Leslie Tompkins story. And I hope to God I have this, but I'm not 100% sure because I do have a few detective holes. I think I have almost every detective comic from 1973 forward. But I have to check this one because it's 75, because I think there was like 10 or so that I was missing. But if I don't have it, I do want to find it. It was a story called There Is No Hope in Crime Alley, which was Leslie Tompkins as a really old lady, but it was fascinating. I loved it. And then it had To Kill a Legend, from Detective Comics 500. That was also fantastic because it was Phantom Stranger taking Bruce to another planet to try to save another Bruce Wayne from losing his parents with Robin, with Dick Grayson. It was a great story. And then it had a Monsters in the Closet from a black and white. And that one seemed a little bit out of place, like for what was in this book in terms of content, but it was good. But that book I got, and I wanted to read it because it was so goddamn expensive. It was $100. So that came in. I really want to place on my comicshop.org com order, but I'm sort of, I had like $700 a book stocked in there and in the cart before they closed down and now they reopened. And now I have that conservative type mentality about what if I get laid off. So I'm kind of pulling back on my back issue purchases. I do have an Aaron Myers purchase that I had finished closed out. And it's got some interesting books in there. I will be talking about that in as soon as they arrive. It should arrive next week, so in a future episode, I'll be talking about those books that arrived. I'm bidding on Aquaman number 3. I already have 1 and 2. And I'm down to like 16 issues of Aquaman in volume 1. And what that does mean, no, I'm not going to get more fun comics, Rob. I'm not. I can't ex afford that, but I will be able to afford the showcases because I've already bought them. I'm missing one Aquaman showcase. I'll still need to get that. It's going to be quite expensive, but a lot of the Aquamans that I am targeting are somewhat affordable, and it's a big deal to me because then I'll have every Aquaman that's ever been published, and I think the next one I'm going to move to is Hawkman. Which I already have almost every Hawkman ever published. I think I'm missing a handful of those. Matter of fact, I'll look at Hawkman and Atom because I consider that a Hawkman title. So I'm missing Hawkman number 1 of volume 1. I'm missing number 11, number 15, number 18 through 21. And then I have everything else, and then all the other Hawkman volumes. But I include Hawkman and Atom because they combined the books. Oops, Hawkman and maybe I need the other ampersand. And it's not coming out. So let me see if I can find it by title. Maybe it's Adam and Hawkman. Did he get top bid? Yeah, it is Adam and Hawkman. Holy shit. Yeah, I have that whole series. So that was a continuation of the volume one. So I think my next target is gonna be this. And that's another strategy that I've changed. Before, I was all over the goddamn map. Anything that struck my eye, I'd open up a wizard. I'd be like, "Holy fuck, that looks cool." I'd like go off on a tangent and just say, "I'm gonna get that, get this, get that, get that, get that, get that." And I think this latest scare has me thinking, well, maybe I'll just have some surgical strikes on the collection, and they'll be more focused. So focus on Aquaman. If I can finish Aquaman within the year, then I'll focus on something else. I mean, two that I've been thinking about is the Hawkman Marvel team up. I'm very close on Marvel team up. Captain America, very close on having every Captain America. Not including Tales of Suspense or the Golden Age stuff, but from the Silver Age 100 forward. So that's another thing you'll probably be seeing is more surgical, not all over the place, although the Aaron Myers purchase is still kind of all over the place. And when I do get stuff from him, they're sort of stuff that I've always wanted. Like, I'll spoil this, but I'll talk about it more later. But I've always wanted the first appearance, the first work of Greg Capullo, and that appears in Gore Shriek number one, which is not a cheap book. And with this purchase that I got from Aaron, I got one and two. So I'm really happy when that collection comes in because I'm gonna have those books that I really wanted. And so that's that. And I can't think of anything else that I really wanted to talk about besides DC getting their books published. I wish more publishers would take some risks like DC just to see what can change because we could still be in the same boat. The other change that I've heard of is Alterna Comics has gone strictly through you have to order from them directly or you have to have your comic shop order from them directly. They're no longer going through Diamond and they're the newsprint guy and I was all in. I was all in. And now I think I'm all out. With the exception of I'll probably wait for Tinseltown Volume 2 to finish and then make a purchase from their website. And just say, ship me all of them, you know? And if that doesn't work out, then oh well. But they've been a company that I like their company, and it was convenient getting through Diamond. But if it's going to be a hassle for me to get, and I have to pay extra shipping, I don't want to. That changes with other publishers, like TKO. I think I'm all in. Like I'll go out of my way to make a TKO purchase. If I hear there are going to be any more Sight comics coming out in physical form, I would like to get those because I went all in on those, and those are like a direct to comic shop thing. And if you're interested in those, you can go through Cowabunga. If you're interested in TKO, you can go through Cowabunga. Everything else, I pretty much go through DCBS. But Cowabunga is a good alternative if you're just starting out. Because they have tax breaks right now because they haven't hit a certain volume, and you will get taxed with DCBS. Great discounts, but you'll get competing discounts on Cowabunga. So. You could always look there, and during these times, you can always mail Cowabunga and say they are working, but their store's closed. But you could say, "Hey, Cowabunga, I am working on my Daredevil run. Can you give me Daredevil 300 to 320?" And they will go and they will look for Daredevil 300 to 320 and say, "You know what? I found 10 of those. Do you want to purchase them?" for this price, and usually they'll offer you a good deal, and you say, yeah, and then they'll ship them to your house. You coordinate your shipping with them, you know, the cost, and it's shipped directly to your house. So that's a way to get some comics during this time. So there were a few questions that I hadn't covered. One of them was Chris from Chris Pfeiffer. He says, in your Silver Age, adopt a character. Well, I have, before I get into that, I have something else. I have a huge shout out for somebody because I received a package that was very unexpected. And it was from Dennis Calder of the Best of the Rest podcast. I didn't ask for this. I didn't expect it. Matter of fact, when it arrived, I thought it was a Kickstarter that finally arrived. And I was sitting there and I saw Calder and I said, there's only one Dennis that I know of. I don't remember ordering anything, and I opened it up, and it was, yeah, it was some beat up copies, but they're not that beat up. They're very good copies of some comics, but he sent me Unexpected 171, House of Secrets, 154, House of Secrets 112, The Witching Hour, number 46. House of Mystery 236, Ghosts number 47, and Heroes Incorporated presents Canon Amazing Adult Adventure magazine. And it has a Wally Wood on the cover. It has this like guy with a machine gun carrying a sexy lady. It's 15 cents. It has Dragonella and the Misfits. So that's something that I'll probably read today because I don't know what the fuck it is. But thank you, Dennis. I can't thank you enough. I don't often get free stuff. Chris sent me, Chris, the guy who was asking the next question, he sent me a great cat and mouse comic book that I really wanted. So I do get stuff from time to time, but it's always a pleasant surprise to get free comics. Like it's like the best thing in the world. And I'm very proud to add those to my collection and give them a read. So let me get to those questions. And first question is, in your Silver Surfer Adopt a Character reading, what is your favorite storyline and or artist writer combo? It's a tough one because there's so many good ones, and there's only one that I didn't care for until recently. Like my mind changed when I hit issue four, but I'm gonna have to rate them all equal. But I'd say my favorite is the Jack Kirby and Stan Lee's Fantastic Four introduction, because it is just so mind-blowingly awesome. In Fantastic Four, I just love that introduction the most, and it establishes the world with Galactus and everything. And you can't have the Surfer without Galactus being a herald, and that's amazing. And then the Engelhart Marshall Rogers run that I started has been phenomenal. Like it's right up there. And then I got into a series that I got two issues in, and I was like, I'm not gonna read this. And I've been rereading it and loving it. So my mind has changed on the Dan Slott and Adlard arc. Matter of fact, I just read 9 and 10 on the volume 1 that they did together, and I thought that Galactus story, where there was a world where so Surfer always has this burden, and he's sort of depressed all the time because he's like he realizes as he's flying around through space that he like killed so many people, millions, billions of people. Like even in Donnie Cates's Silver Surfer Black, he's down on it. Like he's down with the sickness, man. Even though he gets affected by the Venom, Null, Lord Null, or whatever you want to call him, the Venom God. He had an opportunity in that to change. It's like killing baby Hitler. Let me think about killing Galactus. And luckily, Uatu, the Watcher, said, "No, don't do this. It's a bad idea." But that's also a run that I changed when I was reading it. Story-wise, art-wise, Silver Surfer Black looks amazing, but the story wasn't there, and I'm usually more story-driven. And then I hit SU4 with that Uatu and Galactus, and then my whole mannerism of that changed. But so far, I like that one the least. I put the slot stuff, and there's the Starlin stuff that I still need to read. I mean, there's so much stuff I still need to consume of Surfer, and I've done a poor job in March and April, although I've picked up with the Dan Slott run at night and started back up with Silver Surfer Black. I was in like the 40s, I think, of the content of Silver Surfer, and I was, when you think about it, it's already going to be May. I want to make more progress on my adopted character and also with the Tarzan. So, my favorite, I guess, so far, even though I'm sort of digging all of them in this exploration, is the Kirby Stan Lee, just because that's what created the foundation for everything else that came beyond it. And it's such a wealth of, oh man, there's such good stuff. Even the Alicia Thor, I mean, Alicia Silver Surfer relationship, like she th thing is like, what the hell is, she's ignoring me. Why is she all attached to the real Alicia's really a key player in why the Silver Surfer starts looking at humanity and starts realizing what he's been doing and killing these billions of people. Alicia Masters is what changes his mind historically. So keep that in mind. And when Ben's moping because he thinks he's lost his woman to a silver freak on a surfboard, that's a little heartbreaking. But that's my favorite because even though these stories that come after it are amazing and relationship with Mantis and all these other women that he's had, like Dan Slott's invention of Dawn and how they met when she wishes upon a star is amazing. And the fact that she almost becomes a herald of Galactus because on that world that Dawn accidentally lands on that was hidden from the heralds of Galactus because of a shield they constructed, she was driving the surfboard and when it crashed into this planet. And Surfer didn't even know like that this existed, but what is this world? Think about it. It's a world of the last remaining survivors of the millions upon millions of worlds that Galactus has eaten. So there's only like one of their people there, and they've learned to have this mosaic world with all the people and live as a family. And now the Herald of Galactus has come, the one that they fear the most, and they hate him. And they're like, "You killed our worlds, you son of a bitch. You killed our worlds." And Dawn is like, "What are they talking about?" He never told Dawn, what was happening. The Earth girl that came up with him and this Dan Slott run. And she says, "I want nothing to do with you. No more." I can't believe you did this. And Silver Surfer was falling in love with her. And he leaves her on that planet. And he's moping above the planet, doesn't know what to do. But guess what? Galactus is tracking that Silver Surfer movement. Oh my God! Galactus is coming to the world where he destroyed all of these people's worlds. He's coming to eat this world. He's hungry. And Silver Surfer led him there, even though he's not a Herald of Galactus anymore. And he's going to consume this world. And Silver Surfer's like, I can't let you do this. So he uses all the cosmic powers. There's even a David Goliath thing in there where he tries to do a David Goliath on Galactus. That doesn't work. And everything looks hopeless. And Galactus is getting ready to eat the world. And then it goes back to his origin. Dan Slott pulls on this. He's like, the way the Surfer got out of him killing his world or eating his world was he says, I will come work for you. I will give you my whole body and soul to become a herald of you if you save my world. He sacrificed himself for his entire world. So we had these billions of people on this whole planet. They all say the same thing. Take me as your herald. Take me as your herald. Take me as your herald. And Galactus says, fuck no. Why would I want you as my herald? I ate your worlds. You mean nothing to me. You're the little maggots that I swat with the fly swatter. And it was heartbreaking because the world united and they all were like, I'll be your herald. I'll be your herald because they knew Silver Surfer's origin. And that didn't work. But guess what? Dawn says, you never ate Earth, and I will give you me if you let this world live. And Galactus is like, huh? That sounds like a fascinating offer you're offering me. I will take that offer. You become a herald of me. And as she's becoming the Herald of Galactus, everybody gets in their escape pods. They don't even know if they're going to fly anymore on this planet. And these millions of ships lift off this planet. And they're like, you can't take this one woman to be your herald. We're leaving. And guess what? Galactus consumes that world. Dawn does not become a herald, although I think there's like some of the process that happened that I don't know what that's going to mean. But what an amazing arc. So, like, yeah, I can point out at different pieces of story and just go off for days and just talk to you about it. So far, everything that I've read, I loved. And that sounds weird, but I'm a weird dude. And I do read things when I'm in the mood. So it leads me to be more excited about things. It really does. So thank you for that question, Chris. Thank you for the cat and mouse. The next question is from Will Nevin. What's the one book you've reread the most? That's interesting, and you might be surprised to hear the answer, but it's Identity Crisis. I love that book. It's the one book that I can read that I get so emotionally tangled up in and I cry. I mean, I literally cry in that book. Brad Meltzer and Rags Morales. I've reread that book at least 5 times. In my collection, 70,000 comics. I don't usually have a lot of time to reread things, but I've reread that many times. I love it. Rob Krieger says, what will Rob do? He's talking about himself in the third. It's like Jerry's getting angry, or on Seinfeld, when they start referencing themselves. What will real Rob Krieger do if DCBS stops shipping? Well, that was a long time ago, and they did stop shipping, but they're going to start shipping again. You're just going to get some smaller orders because only DCBS com I mean DC Comics are coming to you. But I think you found your way. You're reading a lot of All-Star Squadron old issues. You're buying some new issues from mycomicshop.com and Cowabunga. You're exploring some Who's Who. Not Who's Who. What is that? Wednesday's Comics. You're exploring some Wednesday's Comics in the hardcover collection. I can't believe you never bought the newspapers, man. God damn, those are awesome. I have both, but to me, that having that Sunday newspaper was absolutely fantastic. Dallo Spicer, my fellow Valiant fan, what are your top three recommends from books you've read in the last month? Okay, let's look. And this is always behind my 5 out of 5 with Silver Surfer in the last week was this current week is Silver Surfer 9 and 10, volume 6, which is I just described to you with his Dan Slott and Allard, I can never remember. His art has really grown on me. I was never a Madman guy, or I've grown a new appreciation for his art, and I think it has to do with 11 O'Clock Comics describing the mind frame of he's a classic artist. His art looks like something that you might have seen in the Silver Age or Bronze Age, or and you're seeing it now. I thought the teak AWA books, Red Border and Resistance, were absolutely fantastic reads. I thought Red Sonja by Mark Russell was, I loved it. So these are books that I have loved. I read Aquaman 43 through 58, the DeConnick Rocha run. Loved it. Along with the miniseries Mera from DC Comics. I read Plunge 1 and 2 from DC Comics and loved it, and I reread Green Arrow 39 through 49, which is the Brick storyline and all kinds of good stuff in that. I adored it. So that kind of goes over some stuff that I've absolutely loved. A couple others. I love Fallen World from Valiant Comics. I don't know if you felt the same, but I loved it. I loved Lois Lane. The entire series has been a 5 out of 5 for me. And I love from Source Point Press, Touching Evil. I thought it was an amazing read. So there's some of the comic books that I've adored over the course of the last month. I want to thank you all for listening to me babble. I hope that you're all okay. I recently put out a survey, and I was sort of happy to sort of see that most of the people that follow me and were able to answer my polls hadn't lost their jobs or were furloughed. But I asked a COVID-19 question. I said, which applies to you or best applies to you? And I gave him four choices: working at the office, working from home, lost job due to COVID, or furloughed. And the percentages were as followed follows. Working from home had the highest percentage at almost 60%, which is good to know. 59.7%. I didn't vote for my own, but I'm working from the office. Not by choice, and that's why I got hazard pay. But working from the office had 33.3%. Lost job to COVID was the third highest, which is not good, 4.2%. Furloughed, which is a little bit different than laid off, lost your job. It means more like you still could have health insurance, but you're not getting paid, and you still might have a job when you come back. But you do have the benefit of having some of your benefits, like health insurance, you're covered. That was at 2.8%. So we did that. Me and Kyle are doing a current survey. You can look it up. for the DC Spotlight. I can't win these surveys because I never pick anything anybody else wants to read but me. And I've come to the conclusion that I can put out a survey and I know who's already going to be the winner because the winner is always the most popular thing on the list. People want to read what they are familiar with. They don't want to read the stuff that I select, like Chronos because nobody's read it, or DC Legacies because nobody's read it. They want to do Legionnaires because they know what Legionnaires is, or Hitman. Things that usually win are things that are most popular. But I'm still going to always, you'll always be able to guess my stuff because it's usually the more obscure. Because I want to revisit it. But, that is that. And what else? I think that's it, and then we'll get to the weekly reads, which I'm getting fairly close to being caught up. Well, I guess not. If I do four, I'll be really close. No, I won't. I'm still 2 months behind in my books in describing them. But I don't feel like I'm going to do that part of the podcast today. So what I'd like to do is next podcast, I'd like to cover 4 weeks worth of material just so I don't get that far behind. And I have quite a bit of write-up on these 4 weeks. But that'll get me closer to what I'd like to eventually get is to have to do 1 week of reading material instead of like 3 to 4 weeks of reading material. So that's the plan. And I'll be back with I might do less, who knows? But I try to do a Mike M's at least weekly and cover more than 1 week because usually I'm not quite at 1 week. I'm usually like a week and a half apart, sometimes 2 weeks. But it usually happens, and as long as I keep doing like covering reads from 2 to 3 weeks, I'm not falling farther behind. So, and I have been reading a lot more books during this quarantine. So I want to thank you for listening. Me jabber about COVID-19, about DC comic strategy, and some of the listener questions. I really appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. And don't forget about my other podcast, Geek Brunch, where we really talk about how I'm really cutting down, going publisher by publisher in gory detail, if you want to hear that, and why I'm doing what I'm doing in more detail, go check out the latest Geek Brunch that will come out. It should already be out before this podcast. So I want to thank you for listening. I hope you're all safe. I hope your families are safe. I hope that you're not really depressed and your anxiety levels are in control. I have a lot of anxiety. But I keep them under control because I have a lovely wife, I have a roof over my head, and I have comics to try to calm me down. And I hope that you find something that will help you calm you down. There's a good podcast that I'd like to recommend, if you like Rick Remender. I never like to listen to interviews, but for some reason, when Rick Remender talks, like one of my first interviews I heard in the early days of podcasting, because I never been into interviews. I just don't want to listen to interviews. Like I don't want to know my creators. I don't know why. But I was listening to it was either Around Comics or 11 O'Clock Comics. No, it wasn't 11 O'Clock because they weren't there yet. Comic Geek Speak, or it was Around Comics, one of those two. they had an interview a long time ago with Rick Remender. Well, 11 O'Clock Comics just did an interview with Rick Remender, and I found it very enlightening. Just about in terms of what's going on in the world right now, and to hear what he's going through, and to hear what he thinks about mainstream comics, which is the opposite of what I think of mainstream comics. But it's interesting to hear his perspective and why he thinks the way he does, and his background on punk rock and experience with Deadly Class and how he liked doing that. And Fear Agent is coming to Amazon. It's just a real good interview. So check that out on 11 O'Clock Comics. Look for Rick Remender, and I'm pretty sure you'll find it. Jason Wood kicked ass with the questions, man. I'll give props where props are due, and I really dug his questions. So take it easy, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace. Oh, enjoy your comics. It's a very important thing. Always enjoy your comics. Bye. So I'm back quicker than I thought I would be. And we are going to talk about books from March 9th through March 15th of 2020, sort of before the coronavirus hit in Colorado Springs. Roughly around that time, but it's before. So we had a total of 35 comics. We had one Power comic, one Dell, 33 DC. Starting out the 3 out of 5s, we had Cobalt Blue. He's a super soldier that escapes to Earth using time travel and is pursued by a government. He then runs into Overkill, and it says it's going to be continued, but I didn't know if it was. This is the only issue, but Kirk said, my co-host said there was a story that might continue in the Innovation series or in Power Comics. This is a Power Comics single issue title. The second story is about a character called The Mask who helps release a girl's brother from prison by finding a guy that used technology to have the same fingerprints. So it's kind of like a detective story and how that guy was using technology to mimic fingerprints and frame somebody else for a crime that the brother of this sister was killed. We then had a 3 out of 5 Tom and Jerry 229. This was purchased from Cowabunga Funny Books. So was Cobalt Blue. Jerry and Tuffy try to get Tom to help them earn money so they can go to the circus. Tuffy tries to get Jerry to go fishing in another episode, and Tom is addicted to string, and Jerry and Tuffy try to get him off of his addiction. They're pretty cruel to Tom in that third series. Because I guess cats like string, and they take advantage of that. Try to help him lose an addiction. It's interesting. 4 out of 5 are Superman, Batman 6 through 12. This is a, I think this is Batman Superman 6 through 12. Well, it's the Jay Lee stuff, but a little tough getting back into the story because I was a little lost because it was midstream, and it was like you had to turn the comic sideways to read because it was in landscape mode. But I still enjoyed the story as a whole. Batman was in control by a bunch of video game players. They had to take on Mongol. First Contact tied the into World's Finest, which was written by Paul Levitz. Was a story of Kara losing her powers. They're going off and on, and them trying to get back to Earth too. Issue 10 by Lemire, read like an old Brave and the Bold, where Superman and Adam have to go into Batman's brain to remove an alien city. I read Doomed a long time ago, but this was a tie-in where Batman, Wonder Woman, and Steel went to the Fortress of Solitude to try to get into the Phantom Zone to find a cure, because in Doom, Superman like was gassed and was actually becoming Doomsday. Excellent Earth 2 issue as Superman and Batman try to remember the other Earth and demon Kaio then grants them the ability to go visit their counterparts. I really enjoyed that. We then had The Wake 2 through 10. This was from Vertigo. Snyder and Sean Phillips, I think. A woman that studies whale sounds is recruited to decipher a language from a mermaid. Her and her team appear to get slaughtered, but exist at the bottom of the ocean and communicate with Leland from the future, who has a cybernetic dolphin. They hook up with pirates and find a communication link and are chased by an old lady who appears to have been the government power. But what this is it starts off weird. You start off in the future. You have this story in the past with this scientist that was rejected from NOAA or fired from NOAA, so she's doing research. She gets hired back by the government who kicked her out in the first place to go research these sounds, which were coming from these like mermaid people, and then they almost get slaughtered. And then it cuts to the future with that woman and the cybernetic dolphin again. It was a very interesting story, but I think the middle part when they were grounded within our time was a lot more interesting than when it went to the future. Although some of the physical graphics looked awesome, like the art, it just was great when it went to the future. Welcome back, Carter, number one. Mr. Kata and his wife's apartment is coming apart, and he wants to move to get another job. This makes the sweat hogs think he is sick and start acting like on their best behavior. They found out he got a job offer and work with his wife to convince him to stay at the school because he was a sweat hog and he would have had a better deal at this new school, but they convince him to stay. From DC Comics. And then we have Batwoman, number 33 through 39 in Annual 1. Batwoman takes on Nocturna. Yes, I said Nocturna. From Jason Todd days, who kills older men but then comes under the spell and kills one of the stepdaughters for. What did I. Batwoman takes on Nocturna, who kills older men, so she's like a Black Widow, but then comes under her spell, so Batwoman comes under her spell, and Batwoman kills one of the stepdaughters for Nocturna. Kate has to break up with Maggie in order for the stepfather to let the daughter have visitation rights with Maggie. Then a story that reads like Demon Knights, where Demon Clayface, Red Alice, Ragman, and Batwoman have to join forces to take on Morgan Le Fay and Nocturna. Very interesting story. That was Batwoman 33 through 39 in Annual Number 1. We then get into the next 4 out of 5, which is Jetsons, number 29. Judy is in a band, a trio, and they make it to the Ed Sullivan show to win money. George thinks she's an absolutely horrible singer and makes her train all night because he thinks very highly of himself. And the other girls, once they see George wants to treat him like that, and that Judy got sick because she got hoarse trying to train. George shows up as their third singer and they bail out on him, and then he goes on stage with his guitar and invents a new dance because he plugs into the machine and gets shocked and he becomes a new fad. There's another story where Rosie tries to go at, to Spacely Sprockets to get George a promotion and she ends up getting it instead of George. El Rey takes Astro on a scouting trip, like a Boy Scout trip, and there are no dogs allowed. But he saves them from a forest fire, and now he's a hero. Then George is so broke he has to take a sack lunch and hides it in the same spot a bank robber hides a bag of money. But from jail, when George is in jail, he uses sheets to capture the robber and gets a reward for capturing the robber. It was very this that was a fun issue, like a funny comics. It like I felt like I was watching several episodes of the Jetsons. We have World's Finest 25 through 32. Kara and Helena make it back to Earth 2, then a fantastic origin story of Earth 2 Superman and Batman, which I thought was absolutely incredible, told through the eyes of Lois in Earth 2, who's Red Tornado. So in Earth 2 comic, Lois is Red Tornado. Jor-El, in an effort to save Krypton, launched a rocket into the sun that caused its early destruction on this world. He was able to get several Kryptonians, including his son, away. There was a woman from Apokolips that offered Jor-El to save Krypton for their son. Thomas Wayne was providing prescription drugs to the Falcons, and one day he decides to stop, and this puts his family in danger. That's how sort of how the Bruce Wayne and Clark Kent stories were tweaked for this Earth 2. Wonder Woman and Mercury try to save Earth 2 by protecting the kids so they can grow to adults. It also shows how Wonder Woman and the gods set up Lois to be Red Tornado as a little girl. So, like, it's foreshadowing what really happens. It shows the growth of Clark and Bruce through the years leading up to their death. It shows Catwoman raising Helena to become a crime fighter. It was just a fantastic story. I'd highly recommend it if you're a fan of Huntress, Power Girl, and you want to know some alternate stories of Superman and Batman. World's Finest, New 52, issues 25 through 32. We then get into the comics for March 16th through March 22nd, and we had a total of 42 comics that week. Is that right? March 16th through the 22nd. We had from Valiant Comics 16, Storm King 1, Source Point Press 1, SBI 1, Marvel 1, Dynamite 1, DC 18, Dark Horse 1, Archie 1, Action Lab 1. We'll start at the 3 out of 5s. We had Archie 710. 10. It was a Katie Keene, the fashion guru, and her family arrive at our Riverdale in this modernized tale of Archie. We have Bloodshot number 3 through 6. This is the current Bloodshot series. Bloodshot is taken down by General Grail and the Black Bar Squad of Edeon Syet with Edeon Syet abilities. The Burned, an organization of agents that were used by the government, rescues him, and they work together. When Bloodshot touches Edeon, he remembers saving her as a little girl, only to turn her over to the Black Bar Squad. Later, Bloodshot helps rescue Edeon, and she is at a horror convention because every year General Grail lets her have a vacation. There is another organization called the Sons of the Last Flesh, with this cybernetic woman that are also involved with Idian Idolon. I don't know how to pronounce that, her name. Idolon separates the cybernetic with her abilities and kills them. Twin Worlds number one, it's some human knights and their lands are conquered by an Elvian armor, like elves. The king and his daughter, who is also part elf and human, he wants her hidden because he's ashamed because she's a crossbreed. Meanwhile, there is a spaceship getting ready to attack the elves, and they might enlist what is left of the human kingdom to take out those elves in Twin Worlds. We then have the last 3 out of 5, which is Invasion of Planet WrestleTopia. This was cool because me and Bill got to review a comic digitally. Somebody said, you know, we Geek Brunch, we'd like you to cover this book, and we did. It's about a wrestler is going to, up against someone, and the match does not go as planned, so he's kicked out of the Federation. He is then being watched from space for a space match, but this is kind of like after the fact. He was a badass wrestler. And then he's in the wrestler and he's not very good in the future. But when the aliens see him, they only saw his past, and they're recruiting this guy who's kind of like a fallen wrestler. We then get into the 4 out of 5s. Dark Agnes from Marvel. Dark Agnes saves a wise ass criminal from being beheaded. It's really good characterization between Dark Agnes and that guy that she's with. They get a job of being bodyguards to Helen Della Marie and Sister Marie. Really good banter between two characters in this one. Bloodshot number zero. Bloodshot is in Siberia. He meets up an agent of Gate investigating a huge hole and missing people. There is a human trafficking ring that Bloodshot breaks up and finds out the girl working at the bar was leading the people into the trafficking ring, and she looked innocent, but he found out she was behind it. But he sort of didn't blame her because she was in a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. Rye number one, this is the current volume. Rye and Raijin take on some scavengers that are like characters out of Road Warrior, and Raijin is the little kid Rye, that's actually older than Rye, which is interesting. They are trying to beat Father and in finding his 12 backups. So Father's looking for his backups to reassemble himself after Japan came down. Predator Hunters number three, three number one. A drug dealer remembers killing a predator and hunting them. Meanwhile, there is a predator that is slaughtering a bunch of warriors looking for him in Belize, Central America. Red Sonja, Age of Chaos. I'm hearing a weird beeping noise. Hold on. So I'm back. It was Alexa's alarm we set. So then we have Red Sonja, Age of Chaos, and that was really good. That was from Dynamite. In the past, Red Sonja took an evil sorcerer and through his power took him out and threw his power jewelry into the ocean. I don't know how to spell through. And then you cut to the present, and all the Chaos characters are sort of fighting over that jewelry that was in a museum. At the end, it looks like they might be transported back to Red Sonja's time. Evil Ernie and Purgatory and all those different characters. Nyx, I think, was in it. No, Nyx wasn't, because Nyx is Vampirella. I'm thinking of somebody else. Chastity, really cool crossover. Batman, Superman, 13 through 20. Superman and Batman no longer remember who they are, and Lord Satanas, KO, will benefit from this. So what I read before, it wasn't Batman, Superman. It was, I mean, Superman, Batman. It was Batman, Superman. I need to fix that. Lois interviews Magubat. And he tries to kill her, but she is saved by Superman. This was a fascinating story where Superman and Batman did not remember who they were because Kaio wiped their memories. She's sort of like a demon. Superman is with Catwoman and Batman is with Lois, so it switches it. I really like the Batman and Lois relationship. They end up defeating Magubat and remembering who they are. The Superman's Joker story starts and someone is killing people that Superman cares for. They call it Superman's Joker, but it's not Superman's Joker. It's Superman's Joker because the villain is obsessed with Superman, like Joker is obsessed with Batman. Superman and Batman try to solve the mystery, even at one point are desperate enough to involve Hector Hammond. Batman uses Lois as bait. This was the best part of the story. But the killer shoots Batman instead of Lois because he thinks it's like this microscopic bullet that they can't stop and they don't know how where it's coming from. And he thinks Batman means more to Superman than Lois is, means to him. And probably in the New 52 that was true. Batman survives and they find the killer is in Kandor and is an escapee Zadu, the Phantom King. He is using Superman's aunt and grandmother to attack. Also, Supergirl's best friend is corrupted. They end up taking out Zadu because of the Atom and the Agents of Shade, and sending him back to the Phantom Zone. Really cool story, especially that Batman Lois thing. It was really interesting. Valiant Bloodshot Free Comic Book Day Edition Special. Bloodshot is killing a bunch of members of Wu Tan Dan. they ironically worship him, introduces a religious nutcase, Circadian, who worships Father. He is also an acolyte that sees through his bullshit, and Circadian kills him. So Circadian has an acolyte with him, and that follower sees through Circadian's bullshit, and Circadian has to kill him. It's cool religious type thing, which I like. Dr. Mirage 4 and 5, Shen and Grace get away from Amit. There is a mystical sickle that Shen uses to stab herself with to bring her back to reality. Huan leads her, but he tells her he is truly dead and she is not and must continue on without him. Some brilliant writing in issue 5, just in terms of words and the way that Mags puts the words together. Really emotional context. Grace gets possessed and is lost to Shen. At the end, Grace comes back as l the living dead and destroys a hospital, and it's to be continued in another volume of Dr. Mirage. Raku number one. Raku finishes one mission and is assigned another where she has to take to get a weapon of mass destruction, which turns out to be a little girl, Mary Beth. Mary Beth can stream all the internet in her brain and process it instantaneously. Raku has run in with Ember One, a former friend, and they fight over the resource. Once they realize that they're both up against the same people, they join forces and try in trying to get or kill the Maestro of Knives. Raku is able to fake the girl's death and get away. I think this wasn't just Raku. This was the whole series, and I just took credit for one, and that's a bat Roku, and I think it was a 4-issue series. Yeah, I should have added 3 more issues to Valiant. That's my bad, but it gives me more credit for a total of 3 more issues to Valiant, so there's 19 Valiant that week, and 45 comics, so a better total, which is good. It's always good to read more comics. Visitor number one, there is a Japanese organization that's in the States, and I don't know how to spell that. And they are getting attacked. You don't really know why. They have some alternative motive against the United States, but is unknown at this time. Meanwhile, there appears to be a mysterious character that is attacking various areas of that organization. There is a UN representative who is trying to protect the Japanese. So you don't really know. They seem like a sinister organization within the US. There's this strange visitor that's there that's attacking them, and you don't know why. It's kind of like set up, but it's really told really well. I enjoyed it quite a bit. 4 out of 5. Men of War 1 through 8, liked it much more the second time. Rock is infantry, and this is like New 52 Men of War. And it takes place in current time. Rock is infantry and does not want to lead. But when a mission goes south with a metahuman and Cersei, he becomes the leader. Also, they go to take out a ship that they are trying to get back in a very dangerous time. The backup is about Navy SEALs trying to take out insurgents and allow a helicopter to land. One is seriously injured, while two of them try to take out a rocket launcher. It was really cool. It's kind of like in Afghanistan or that time frame. They succeed, and one soldier helps out deliver a baby. That was a cool backup. The second story is about an armored military unit that fails due to heat. Like they had these robots that failed due to heat. And but the program gets more funding to fix it. And then there's a story about a British soldier that has to take out a terrorist. Rock is captured by a soldier who seems to be able to regenerate old soldiers like Gravedigger. They're producing weapons, and Rock and his team have to destroy a warehouse. And then there's a Frankenstein story in World War II where he teams up with G.I. Robot to take an aerial brigade that keeps on attacking London. A story about a soldier that fought in Afghanistan who is trying to get a job when he returns, and he is the last known survivor. We have GI Combat Number Zero. This is from DC Comics New 52. An unknown soldier remembers all of his incarnations going the way back to Viking times. Then a day in the life of the war that time forgot. So I thought they were really good. I liked them much more the second time for those New 52 stories. Tales of Science Fiction Redhead. This was a surprise. I really thought it was fantastic. 4 out of 5. This had a computer-generated art, but it worked, and the story was well told about a woman who works hard, but is quite lonely. And one day she goes to a party on a roof and gets infected by a virus that will kill anybody within 3 feet of her. So it's like a proximity virus. We have Touching Evil, which is similar. A lawyer wins a case defending someone who is guilty. The boss sends her to prison to visit an old client who is a ghost in Ghost Cell Block. The prisons are sent there. Prisoners are sent to the Ghost Cell Block to die by touch. And they eventually die by a heart attack from this particular guy that she's visiting. He passes this ability to the lawyer when she goes to visit him. It's a very unusual story, very interesting. 5 out of 5. Fallen World, 5 out of 5, 1 through 5. Japan has fallen, and there is a religious circadian who we talked about earlier, in Rai, I think it was Rai Zero. Who is searching for father? A father reconstitutes himself and merges with Bloodshot. It is then up to Rai, Eternal Warrior, Geomancer, Lula, Raijin, and Kortunga, and his commandy beasts, because they look like commandy beasts, to stop father, who is reconstituting himself. Raijin starts off helping Bloodfather, but betrays him. The section of Japan that father is controlling crashes to the city, and Rai is protecting. And Rai and Raijin join forces to destroy father, and that's where Rai takes over, which we just talked about. So I liked Fallen World better than Rai. Lois Lane number 9. Question asks Batman for help on information about Kiss of Death. That's a new villain. First appearance is in Lois Lane 8, I think. He says she might have magical properties. He says that there is a mistake to not have Superman protecting Lois. And that's the question of Vixage, the female question. Renee Montoya is also in this. Lois finds her housekeeper in a camp for people being deported. She was reported by Kiss of Death, so that Lois has to try to get her out, as well as her family, because they have all been separated. Jessica Midnight and the Nun, Sister Clarice, join forces with Renee Montoya to take down Kiss of Death. Jessica Midnight appears to have links to Checkmate. Last but not least, we had 32 comics for March 23rd through 29th. We had 1 Viz, 10 Malibu, 10 Marvel, 1 Lightning, 1 Gold Key, 8 DC, 1 Blackthorn. We'll start at the 3 out of 5. We had Cold-Blooded Chameleon Commandos from Blackthorn. Chameleons are raised, experimented on, and trained by their doctor, Poindexter. When he is captured by a group to find, they try to find him and run into a castle of amorphic animals. They rescue some ambassadors, but fail to find Dr. Poindexter. And very similar to like Ninja Turtles, as they're trying to cash in. That was from Blackthorn, a 3 out of 5. We have Moxie Strange Days. This is a bunch of one shots, very weird, but I want to complete the Lightning comics. Moxie and Bolts fight off demon hordes. We also get to meet Moxie's loser brother and friend, and they also are starring in their own mini series, and I forget what their names are. That was from Lightning Comics. The next 3 out of 5 is Yosemite Sam tries to impress the sheriff but fails to get fired. Bugs has to help him get his job back. A fishing competition between Sam and Bugs, guess who wins? And Porky Pig and Sam try to win over an old widow who lost her husband and go away with the money. So that was Yosemite Sam number 12 from Gold Key Comics. The next 3 out of 5 is Batman Superman Annual number 2. Clark goes to investigate where the Doomsday Cloud hit. He goes supernova to stop. That's when the New 52 Superman had the ability to go supernova to stop what's left of the Doomsday Cloud and is now powerless. The Phantom King sends Bane, Cheshire, Man-Bats, and Croc to kill Clark while he's down. One of the rebels wants to turn Clark, one of the rebels wants to turn Clark in to save his people, but Bane kills him. Clark and Batman defeat the villains, but in the end, one of the female rebels stabs Clark. Not sure where this is continued in, because I finished all this shit. So we had Cobra number 1 from Viz. This was made into a cartoon. Cobra is a Japanese manga comic book by Busachi Takemitsu, adapted by for English by Marv Wolfman. Cobra begins as a reality two-step in a manner of Total Recall. So he's in a reality and decides things aren't so good, and he's having a bad day and is sort of broke, but has enough money to go pay off one of those virtual reality type centers to spice up his life. So he's a ex his implanted me memories, you don't know if they're real or if they're, kind of like in Total Recall of heroic adventures. Then somewhere along the way, the dream gets confused with reality, and the bum actually becomes the hero he thought he had imagined. In this case, the hero is Captain Cobra, a cigar-chomping pirate buster with a blaster built into his arm, as he takes on Space Mafia with a busty manga chick and Yakuza refugee Jane Royal. Terasawa milks the storyline for lots of up-tempo action, and Wolfman adds characterization with wise-cracking English dialogue. Batman Superman Annual 1. Mongol is defeated in the Phantom Zone. Joichi Mongol's son, Joichi, is going to destroy Earth with Warworld unless Batman and Superman agree to fight. They make up teams: Batman, Jason Todd, Joichi versus Supergirl, Superman, and Krypto. Steel and Batgirl try to destroy the gun that's pointed at Earth. They succeed in destroying the gun, but it turns out that Joshi has good in him, and Warworld turns on him. In the end, Batman tries to save Joshi, but he and Warworld get sucked into the Phantom Zone, and Mongo kills his own son. We have Superman number 1, New 52, Volume 1. We read this story by George Perez. Didn't like it the first time. I liked it much more the second time, as the planet just got purchased by Morgan Edge and they tore down the old building. A Kryptonian fire beast hits Metropolis hard, but Superman is able to defeat it. Lois is working at the TV network now, and Clark goes to talk to her at her apartment, but she is with another man. She's like hiding him, and he. And then Clark sees him in the background. We have Contest of Champions 1 through 10. The Grandmaster and Collector decide to have another contest, and the prize is a sphere of power. This is some oddball character, such as the British Punisher called Outlaw, Bullseye, which is Elektra, the Guillotine, this is his first appearance, the White Fox, who's in the Asian team. Current Marvel series, Maestro, Ares, Night Thrasher, and so much more. The elders have leaders, and Maestro is leading one team. Was that, Maestro from the Peter David Hulk? Punisher 2099 is leading the other. Punisher 2099 and Maestro team up to turn the tables on Grandmaster and Collector. They bring in the Ultimates, the New World Civil War characters, while they're all slung. Slug it out, An outlaw gets the sphere and wishes things back to normal. Maestro is imprisoned by the collector. We have Lord Pumpkin, Necromantra's flipbook, except for the final issue, kind of joins the stories together. 1 through 4, Lord Pumpkin is betrayed by Loki on the Godwill planet. He goes down to Earth and is trapped until a little girl frees him. He then murders the girl and her family. Lord Pumpkin's not a nice guy. Necromantra lost her magic and is now in the medieval world, where she meets a king and marries him and kills him the night of the wedding. She then meets up with the other king and proposes to her, and she fakes that she's getting raped to start a war and win the other empire. The Lord Pumpkin seeks revenge on her, and they both battle it out, only to be defeated by Loki. The Man Called Axe, Marv Wolfman, 1 through 5 and number 0. A cyborg is destroying the mobs in Bedlam. He does not remember who he is or what is going on. A PTSD reporter is trying to find out what is going on, and turns out one of the mob guys is creating these AX cyborgs from dead bodies. 1 through 9 are the guys that died in the chopper, and only the reporters survive. Together they take down the villain. So that's why he's called a Man Called Axe, but he's really A10. I really enjoyed that. I dug that out of an old Malibu box. We got Legion of Superheroes, 4 through 5. This is the origin of forming the Legion. This is the current series by Bendis. Told through Saturn Girl, Cosmic Boy, and Lightning Lad to Superboy by Computo. The same story told through the president's eyes, and the president is Chameleon Boy's mom. So you see the story from one perspective, and then they switch it to the other perspective. This is where the series started to turn around for me. They had to bring Superboy into the future so he could become Superman. We have Batman and Robin 27 through 29. The story behind Harvey and the McKillen sisters, who had the DA under the crime family. So Harvey was working for sort of a crime family at one time, and these are the two McKillen sisters. Harvey killed one of the sisters, and the other sister had killed his love, Gilda, in this new 52 world. They put a hit on Commissioner Gordon, and Harvey changed his ways. Harvey Dent, that is. Now Harvey is after the remaining sister to kill her. The gangs capture Harvey and are going to kill him, but Batman saves him. The sister is put in prison, and Harvey escapes and supposedly shoots himself in the head. Ra's al Ghul is trying to bring back Talia and Damian, and is using the insides of whales to do it. Batman and Aquaman attack the facility and are attacked by deformed Damians. Ra's gets away and is headed to Paradise Island. So I was working on completing the Batman and Robin series. So I want to thank you for listening. I hope you have a good week, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again, and you can reach me at Mike Myers Brunch on Twitter, mike@comicbooknoise.com on email. Listen to Geek Brunch. Listen to Mike M's Collector's Corner, which has two more episodes out. Listen to Mike M's Weekly Reads. Check out Geek Brunch Retrocast. Check out on the DC Noise feed, DC Noise Classics. Check out DC Spotlight. And check out the DC Everything Else podcast. I want to thank you for listening and supporting these episodes. And enjoy your comics.